Okay, so we were discussing a very fascinating concept, which is the idea of an animal being put to death, which strikes us as a little odd because we don't see the animal as making moral choices. So we mentioned two possibilities in the Mishnah. Possibility number one was that the reason the animal is put to death is not because of any kind of a process that they went through, like a human being makes a choice, a bad choice, and therefore they have to suffer the consequences. But as the Mishnah says, simply, the behemoth was responsible for a takala. Lefi shaba la'adam takala al yada lefika chamer akasav tisa keal. Therefore, the animal has to be punished as well because it was involved in something that caused a human being a major problem. So the human being is going to die. The animal, which we see is secondary, the human being has to die as well. But it's not the same standard that we would apply to a human being. Davar acher shalote behema overis bashuk. V'yomru zohi sheniskal ploni al yada. And this, I thought, was, as we emphasized, was a real reflection of the Torah's emphasis on human dignity, that even though this person committed an incredibly deviant act in terms of having a relationship with an animal, once the person is put to death, so that's enough of a punishment, and we don't feel we need to punish them any further, which is an extremely important point. We don't need that they should be humiliated publicly, even post-mortem, that when the animal would walk by, they'd say, oh, yes, we remember that animal, and it was an involvement with such and such a person. So again, the Torah's emphasis on protecting the dignity of all human beings. The next Mishnah speaks about somebody who curses the name of God. Cursing the name of God is one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach as well. It applies not just to Jews, but to Gentiles. It's something which is, of course, fundamental. We say every day in the Shemoneh Esrei, Ata Kadosh, God is holy and sanctified, V'shimcha Kadosh, and His name is holy and sanctified. And if all of that is true, if God's name is holy and sanctified, so then cursing God is a very serious violation. One of the two cases of capital penalty that we have in the Torah itself involve a mekalel, somebody who curses the name of God. So the Mishnah says, Hamigadef enochayev ad sheyifaresh Hashem, until he actually pronounces the four-letter name of God, Yud, then He, and then Vav, and then He, and curses that name. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha explains that in a case that involves a trial of somebody who cursed the name of God, Bechol Yom, Danin es Ha'edim, Bekinoi Yake Yosi es Yosi. That instead of saying the name of God as they're discussing, you know, what it is this person said, they would substitute actually the name Yosi. Yosi because it's a four-letter word that begins with Yud, but actually the numerical value, the gematria of Yosi, is the same as Elohim when spelled without a vav, of 86, and therefore it would be an appropriate term to use. Nigmar Hadin, when they were up to the sentencing stage, Lo Horgin Bechino Yelam Motzin Choladim Lechutz, everybody is sent outside, and Sholin is Hagadol Shebinehim, and you ask amongst those who heard it, you ask one person, Ve'omer Lo Amor Masha Shemata Beferush, that if you're really going to put somebody to death, at that point you actually have to have the witness say what he heard to make sure that it was really the name of God. And again, you send everybody outside for that. And here's an incredibly poignant section of the Mishnah. V'hu Omer, he would say, I heard the name of God cursed, and he would actually pronounce the name of God. And what do you think the judges would then do at that point? They would say, okay, you heard it, and we have to implement a very serious penalty. But you know what the judges do instead? Before they get up to any kind of a penalty, they've heard the name of God cursed. They rip their clothes as if they just had a loved one die. They rip their clothes in such a way that you would only do for a parent. Ve'enan ma'achin olam. They're never allowed to repair that clothing. Because to hear the name of God cursed, in some sense, is to experience a death. And so the judges on the court would actually tear their clothes as if somebody just died. As if a parent just died, because God is like a parent. And God can never die, but perhaps the worst thing that could be done to God is have God's name desecrated and cursed. And so the judges, the Mishnah says, upon hearing this, even just one time, Hadayanim omdim al raglayhim, they would stand, as we do when we tear kriya, vikorin velo ma'achin, and they would never be able to stitch up those clothes. V'hasheni Omer, and then the other witnesses would say, Afani kamohu, v'hashlishi Omer, Afani kamohu. Then nobody else would ever repeat that they heard the name of God cursed, but they would just say, Afani Kamo. So again, we have here in this Mishnah kind of a balance between two values. On the one hand, we're not going to put anybody to death unless we're absolutely sure that the name of God had been cursed. Okay, that's a very important value in its own right. But at the same time, you know, so we need the person to say it once. But at the same time, it's important to protect the sanctity of the name of God, and, you know, we don't want people, you know, just in a casual way throughout the trial that it could be said 100 times, 200 times, 300 times, oh, again, the name of God was cursed, the name of God was cursed, the name of God was cursed, and so we're looking for euphemisms because there are certain things that we should never get used to. There are certain things that should just be, and the shock value is important in its own right because we don't want people to become habituated to hearing a desecration of the name of God, which is, of course, you know, the most sacred thing in our religion. So then the Mishnah continues on and says, Hanosin Mizara, most offensive pagan practices was the practice of Molech. There's some question as to whether it's idolatry in its own right or it's only what we call Chukos Hagayim, something that idolaters did, but not necessarily as a way of worshiping God. But Molech, as is conventionally understood, is to give one's own child over to be burned alive in a fire. There are some views that maintain that Molech is just passing through a fire, that the idolaters of ancient Canaan would build fires on either side, and the child would be passed through. But be that as it may, Hanosin Mizara LaMolech Eino Chayav Ad SheYimser LaMolech, there are two stages. He has to hand it over in the hands of those who are sort of like the Kohanim for the Avodah Zarah. They're the priests that are involved in this ritual. V'yavir ba'esh. And the child should be passed through the fire. But if you only do one of these two, if you give them over to the idolaters, but the child has never passed through the fire, or passed through the fire without having been given over, so then that would not be the full violation of Molech that would result in stoning. Masar l'molech v'lo hevir ba'esh, or hevir ba'esh v'lo masar l'molech, eno chayev ad sheyimser l'molech v'yavir ba'esh. To fully violate this prohibition, again, there are two different phases. One of them, again, as Rashi defines, sheyimser l'molech mosro b'yad mesharte avodah zarah, that you take your child and do the ultimate betrayal of a parent to hand him over to somebody else who's going to harm the child, v'yavir ba'esh. So Rashi explains in the Gemara, you know, exactly how this process would work. And again, there are multiple opinions, whether it was just passing between the flames or actually into the flames itself, but there are two distinct components to be liable for.